Dear Lord, It's the best little drummer boy I've ever heard. Choir, thank you so much. Handbell Choir, too. What a marvelous day to hear all the many different ways when we can express our joy and devotion and love to the Lord. Over the last 10 years, I've really struggled with finding joy during the Christmas season. You see, during the holiday season of 2010, my grandfather was diagnosed with terminal cancer. And as his condition deteriorated over that holiday, we were bombarded with countless reminders about the joy of this season. All the while, we were watching a loved one die in his final days. Between all the Christmas commercials, cards, and social media posts, it's easy to sour on the joy of this season when joy is the last thing that you're experiencing. Sadly, it's more than easy for us, for our joy to feel diminished during this time of the year, during difficult seasons where we're reminded of those who are no longer with us, and especially when we're going through those seasons facing new difficulties, challenges, and headaches. And you know, while it's healthy and right for us to acknowledge the pain that can easily appear during this season of the year, that shouldn't stop us from finding and experiencing the true joy of Christmas. Because friends, the joy of Christmas is big enough to handle our happiness and our hearts. The joy of Christmas is big enough to see us through good times and bad. For this joy isn't the result of anything we've done or said, but rather is the result of what Jesus Christ has done for us. By breaking into our world, he's offered us a way out of the darkness and into the light. Such love gives us and the whole world a reason to rejoice. And it's for that reason why the phrase joy to the world is so prevalent during this season of the year. For Jesus gives all of us a joy that's indescribable, irresistible, and completely unearned. Joy to the world is what we're going to be talking about this morning as we continue caroling our way to Christmas. And as we do so, let's see what this timeless carol has to say to our world today about the joy that's found in Jesus Christ. Now, among all the carols traditionally sung during the Christmas season, joy to the world is unique and different for several reasons. For starters, this song doesn't draw any inspiration from the Christmas story. Instead, it draws its inspiration from the psalm we just read aloud, Psalm 98. And this particular psalm of joy was paraphrased by English hymn writer Isaac Watts in 1719. In his interpretation, specifically of verses 4 through 9, they formed the basis for joy to the world. Although this psalm was originally used to celebrate God's protection over the people of Israel and their longing for the day when he would be exalted as the God of the whole earth, Isaac Watts had a different meaning in mind. His paraphrase of Psalm 98 turned it into a New Testament expression of praise, calling to mind how the Lord had come to reverse the effects of the fall, and that one day soon, he will return again to set things right once and for all. When we read about those lyrics about earth receiving her king and heaven and nature singing, they're actually talking about the return of Christ as king and the joining together of heaven and earth at last. So in reality, this Christmas carol that we love so much, it was never designed to be a Christmas carol. But lo and behold, that's exactly what it became. Now, does that mean that these words hold no power or truth for us then during the Christmas season? No, of course not. Whether used for its intended purpose or not, this song helps remind us of the joy that's experienced any time the Lord arrives on the scene and blesses our world. So while joy to the world, yes, is focused on Jesus' return, it nonetheless communicates many of the same emotions and feelings that we have regarding his birth. In each case, we're surprised by his unexpected arrival. We're overwhelmed with the joy which comes from standing in his presence. And we're amazed yet again that a perfect and loving God would want to dwell upon people like us. Yes, it's true that we receive indescribable joy through the gift of Christmas. But we can't forget that this gift also demands an appropriate response from the world which receives it. As this carol reminds us, every heart must prepare him room, and every part of creation should repeat the sounding joy. Far from being an unreasonable expectation, making room for Jesus in our hearts is something that we must do in order to receive his joy. And when this joy is received and appreciated in the right spirit, it works an inner transformation in our lives. An inner transformation which is made evident through our demonstrations of worship and praise. That's what this carol helps us to do, after all. To praise the Lord for giving us a joy we haven't earned, don't deserve, and could never provide for ourselves. As we're reminded in Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5, praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. When we receive the joy of Jesus, it should generate a response of praise. And this praise, it shouldn't just come during the month of December or when things are going great. Rather, as this carol reminds us, people who have received the gift of Jesus and have made room inside their hearts for him should repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy. And God bless you for sitting there while I sing during a sermon. The Lord is good. Amen. Well, to help us understand more about this unending joy that we receive through Christ, we're going to spend just a moment exploring the psalm on which today's carol is based, Psalm 98. Now, from start to finish, this psalm proclaims the good news that God rules the universe with faithfulness and love. And it's this same faithfulness and love which brings forth joyful praise from every person, place, and thing created by God. This declaration of God's sovereignty and faithfulness was especially timely for the people who first sang this psalm many, many years ago. For you see, at this point in time, God's people were in exile, and their faith was being tested in every way imaginable. Having been taken from their homes and exiled to a land of foreign gods, they desperately needed the assurances which Psalm 98 provided. Assurances that their God was with them no matter where they were or what they were going through. Assurances that he has done and will do marvelous things for his children. Assurances that in spite of their suffering, they still have a reason to rejoice and be glad. This pronouncement of God's reign in Psalm 98 not only helped reassure the Israelites of God's faithfulness and love, it also helped to reassure the early church as well. For instance, the early Christians who knew that Jesus proclaimed the reign of God, well, they also saw in Jesus the ultimate embodiment of God's reign. They experienced Jesus as a king and Messiah who lovingly and faithfully enacted justice and righteousness for all people. And they experienced his ministry as salvation, and they sang the words of Psalm 98 about Jesus. Because of those early Christians and their use of Psalm 98, we have our tradition of reading Psalm 98 during the Christmas season and singing the carol it inspired, Joy to the World. In doing so, it helps to support the Christian conviction that the birth of Christ should always be associated with rescue from exile. But in this case, we're not talking about being rescued from a land of captivity, but rather the captivity of sin. And we're not talking about returning to the land where God lives, but rather God coming to live in our hearts no matter where we are through his life, death, and resurrection. Jesus demonstrated the absolute sovereignty and power of God. He demonstrated eternal faithfulness and love. And where did he first demonstrate these things? Not on a mountaintop, not in a temple, and not even among the powerful, but in a simple, unadorned manger among the meek and lowly of the world. And you can imagine that as the first witnesses of God's sovereignty and salvation looked upon the Christ child, they began to tearfully recall these precious and holy words. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. As we ponder the Lord's faithfulness and love today, let's also consider this important question. Where are you looking for joy this Christmas? To be sure, each of us looks for joy in all sorts of different places during this time of the year. Children look for it in the gifts waiting for them under the tree. Adults look for it in the parties, gatherings, and special events that they attend. And all of us look for it on the radio, in our homes, and amongst the decorations that dot the landscape. With so much going on and with so many things to look forward to, it's easy for us to forget where true, lasting joy is found during this season of the year. Because before you know it, the trees will be out by the road and the attics will be back, the decorations will be back in the attic. Grocery stores will throw out the fruitcakes and replace them with Valentine's candy. And all those gifts wrapped with care will be returned to the stores they are purchased from before New Year's Day. Yes, there are plenty of things which can make us happy during this season of the year. But there's only one gift we receive at Christmas which can bring us true lasting joy. And that's the gift of knowing, loving, and serving Jesus Christ. This gift has the ability to foster an inward joy inside our souls, one which persists no matter what season of life we're going through. That way, whether we're singing on the mountaintop or crying in the valley, we can say, God, I rejoice in knowing you and in you knowing me. Friends, that's where the joy of Christmas comes from. Not from a gift or a great meal, but rather through the arrival of God's salvation in our world through the birth of his Son, Jesus Christ. And y'all, he came to earth not to condemn and judge, but to rescue and save. And he came to do so. He came to do so by getting to know and build relationships with people like you and I. People who are completely undeserving of the hope, peace, joy, and love which comes from following Jesus. And you know, we've already spent a fair amount of time today talking about the joy we receive from Jesus. But what was the joy that Jesus had? Well, his joy was to see the mission completed, to see the wrongs made right, to see our broken lives made whole, no matter the cost to himself. As our selfless servant, Jesus did the things we could never do so that we could live with him forever. And that's where the source of our joy comes from. Not from the things we give or the things we get, but rather by remaining in Christ. As Jesus himself tells us in John 15, verses 9 through 11, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. Friends, the truth of the matter is this. You don't have to be a Christian to experience joy through the things of this world. You can experience it through romance, possessions, travel, fine food, wealth, abundance, and so much more. You can do it. But let me tell you this. These joys, they won't last. And they'll still leave you incomplete. As sure as I live, there's only one thing and one thing only which can make you complete. There's only one thing which can make you whole. And there's only one thing which can cover your sin and make you white as snow. And that's the blood, love, mercy, and grace of Jesus Christ. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross so that our joy could be made complete. And it's this joy which is found through receiving the gift of Christmas, the gift of God's Son. So don't waste your time looking for joy in the things that won't last, but instead, receive the everlasting joy which comes from believing in Jesus Christ. Prepare him room in your heart, and trust me, you'll have a reason to rejoice each and every day, no matter what you're going through or what season of life you're in. For while the joys of this world come and go, the joy we find in Jesus never will. As Hebrews 13:8 reminds us, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when your faith, hope, and trust is put in him, you'll receive the everlasting joy which comes from experiencing the faithfulness and love of the Lord. As our response to this joy, let's do our best to live differently for the remainder of this holiday season. While we enjoy the festivities and traditions that this season always brings, let's make sure that our deepest joy remains rooted in the gift which came down on that first Christmas night so long ago. And as we ponder the joy that Jesus continues to bring us, may we find reasons every day to repeat the sounding joy so that others may experience the same joy that continues to captivate our souls. So what are you waiting for? Receive your King, prepare him room in your heart, and experience the joy that this world's been waiting for. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for a joy that we don't deserve. Thank you for a joy that'll never end. Thank you for the joy of Jesus. And God, help us every day of our lives, no matter what season of life we're in, and no matter if we're in the month of December or not, to share that joy with others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We all have a reason to rejoice today, for joy has come to the world. Let us now prepare to stand and sing our final hymn, Joy to the World.